Hey guys, Jared Larson with Onyx Hunt, and you're listening to the Son of a Blitch podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Son of a Blitch podcast. I'm your host, George Blitch, and today I had a wonderful conversation with Jared Larson, who is a marketing manager over at Onyx. For those who have not checked out Onyx yet, I highly suggest you do. You can go to onyxmaps.com. There is the Onyx Hunt. There is the Onyx Off-Road and Backcountry. You can kind of get a little bit, depending on what it is you're doing. You're doing some off-landing work. If you're going ahead and doing some hiking or maybe some snowshoeing back in the mountains, or if you are like me and you have a love of the great outdoors and hunting, fishing, foraging, whatever it may be, hiking even. Onyx Hunt for me has been a game changer. As many know, if you work with my company, Map My Ranch, you get a map from us. You also get an Onyx membership as well. That's how we collectively get that information that you want us to put on a printed map. And I've been working with Jared for a while now. First got in touch with him whenever I was starting to do some work about a couple years ago with Sharing the Land, Doug Duren's initiative. And Jared and I kind of got in touch and just became friends, stayed in touch. And he's been doing a lot of wonderful things out in the community. And Onyx as a whole has been doing so much to give back to conservation, awareness, education, the people in the outdoors. They've got so many wonderful things going on. So we tackle a lot of the upgrades and the new levels of tools in the toolbox for their hunt app. And we kind of just kind of snowball from there. There's a lot of really cool things coming. Jared kind of gave us some hints on what 2024 will have in the fall, some really cool features. So you guys stay tuned, enjoy this podcast. I know I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Jared, and I know you will too. So without further ado, here is the podcast with Jared Larson from Onyx. Take care. Hey, Jared, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, George. What's going on down in Texas?
Oh man, just, you know, we got the winter storm kicking. People don't know what to do. Everything's closed. Today is the first day it's reopened. And I think people are still shell shocked from seeing these, you know, teen degrees. I know it's nothing new to you, right?
Well, you know, this winter has been pretty dull, I guess, for lack of a better term, up here in Montana. We've not got much snow. We've not had much cold until the last week, you know, when we saw, I think when I woke up on Saturday, negative 26 with a real feel of like negative 40, it was negative 46 or 43 or something like that. And I just bought my first house a month ago. And it's not without the need of TLC. I'll put it that way. So I was pumped that none of my pipes froze. We're now getting some snow. We made it through the cold snap, and all my faucets still run, and I'm not calling a plumber. So I'm doing well over here.
That's important. Well, I had a buddy from Montana send me a picture of like the front of his door, and I guess the condensation, the difference, he said there's 110 degree difference between his inside 70 and negative 40 outside. And the condensation caused his door to freeze in. He's like, I can't get out of my house. I literally can't unless I have a torch or something like that. And then of course there could be downsides of torches inside the house, you know?
Yeah. Lots of downsides. Yeah. I mean, like anytime you would open the door to let the dogs out or just like, it was like, almost like crystallized steam would kind of like roll out the door with you. And almost like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it created a very odd visual every time the door opened when it was, you know, negative 30. But yeah, had multiple buddies who like their pipes froze, and, you know, like my cousin, her washer, you know, pipes froze up. So it was all things avoided at my homestead. So we're all good. And now I'm just hoping for some snow, because if we don't get snow, it's going to be, a wild, fiery summer, and fishing is going to be cut short in about July. So the snow better start falling.
Well, I hope so. If it comes down here, I'll send it back your way, man, because no one knows what to do here.
Keep it out in Texas. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're in Montana now, but you kind of, your roots come back. You were born and raised in Wisconsin. You went to college in Iowa. Kind of like walk us through a little bit about your timeline and your genesis of, you know, kind of maybe your time in the outdoors and how you kind of got into hunting and fishing. Was that something you know, did, you know, primarily with your family, some friends, you know, kind of walk us through, and then how we're sitting here now and talking to you with your new home in Montana.
Yeah. So, you know, I was really fortunate and grew up in a family that hunting was pretty endemic to the core of what we did all fall, fishing as well. But definitely more of a hunting oriented family. You know, and it was a family affair a lot of times. You know, my mom didn't necessarily actively participate, but if she was needed in order to enable my brother and sister, as far as just like more hands or bodies for my dad, she was out there. So super fortunate in that regard. And then, you know, it really just allowed, I'll call them friendships really to form with my brother and sister and cousins. It was just like a very natural thing that we always did. And there was always some sort of togetherness when we were growing up. And that's really spanned a lifetime. Like those are still the people, you know, of course, my dad included, that I still cherish most, as far as time spent in the woods. It's always, you know, how can I get out in the woods with my brother, sister, dad, cousins, uncles, the people that were there when I first started. And it wasn't always that way. You know, I think you go through some period where as you're learning, of course, you want to be there with those that brought you into it. And then you, you know, form some type of identity on your own where it's like, I want to go do this by myself to prove that I can, or like just accomplish it, or a new challenge or whatever it is. I don't really know what my mental psyche there was, but you know, now we're getting to the point where it's kind of coming full circle back to like, no, I'd much prefer to share in these hunts with people that are important to me. It makes it more memorable, even if it's less successful or, you know, not the way that I had dreamed it up, because my dad's, you know, in his mid 60s now. It's like he's not moving like he was when I was, you know, in high school, and he was in his 40s. And sure. So it's just been enjoyable to go along such a long journey with so many of the same people. And I don't think that that's the case for so many hunters today. There's a lot of people finding it in adulthood or introduced by a friend or, you know, introduced themselves to the Field the Fork movement and really wanted to provide for themselves. So I feel really fortunate to have grown up in that. And then I was from Wisconsin, as you said, so spent a lot of time chasing deer and turkeys and ducks. You know, we're in central Wisconsin, south central. The Horicon Marsh was my backyard. So The largest cattail marsh in North America, provided a ton of public land opportunities in close proximity. So predominantly I grew up as a public land hunter. Sure, there was like little private parcels that we had access to, but it was not our predominant source of hunting. And then for college, I didn't know what I wanted to do as far as work went, you know, like so many 16, 17, 18 year olds that are like, well, time to spend a bunch of money and time on something that you may or may not ever use. So I decided that I knew I would use my bow and arrow. So I went to Iowa State to get resident deer tags in the state of Iowa. You know, one of my aunts, her grandparents homesteaded a place in Iowa. So this Iowa farm was always this big allure, but you know, we could only draw tags like once every 3 years growing up, and they're pushing $700. And so, I saw an opportunity to go to a big D1 school, and be 2 hours from this farm and get $29 deer tags 4 years in a row. So that's ultimately what I did. And oddly, I would say the deer hunting shaped my future career as much, if probably not more, than the schooling and the marketing degree I got, which, you know, I no doubt use. But I would say I use my passion for deer hunting on a daily basis here at OnX, maybe more so than my marketing degree. And so, yeah, I ended up coming out to Montana right after college. I got a job in the customer service department of OnX and spent the first year here answering phones and walking through people using the Hunt app, which in 2017, you know, like an app that you purchased was, I won't say it was a novel thing in 2017, but it was on the forefront of cutting edge, or, you know, the early adopters were the only people buying apps at that point in time. You know, I would guess the first app maybe was launched and purchasable in 2013 or sometime in that realm. I could be a little bit off. But so, you know, it was a lot of conversations where I was just telling people how to get to the app store, let alone like how to use our product. And so then after that, you know, there's no better way to really learn about your customer than being on the phone with them all day, every day that you're at work. So that kind of spiraled into an opportunity on the marketing team. And so that's what I've been doing the last 7 years is you know, doing a lot of the work for the go-to-market strategy and execution for our whitetail and turkey markets from an Onyx Hunt perspective. So, you know, working with the greater marketing team to come up with, you know, the messaging, the theme, the education that we need to put out there for the product, and really helping empower those folks get the most out of the time that they have to spend in the woods. Because at the end of the day, that's really the mission of Onyx, is to empower those experiences that you hold most dear, whether that's, you know, through our hunt app hunting, through our off-road app overlanding, or through our backcountry app hiking or backcountry skiing. So I feel really fortunate to have grown up in the environment that I did, that ultimately shaped me to be able to do this job in an effective way to empower hundreds of thousands, millions of folks out there to enjoy the time and be more efficient with their time that they have to spend in the woods. Because as you know, for all too many people, it is never enough time.
No, it never is. And something like having the Onyx Hunt app for myself, there's so many different useful tools, layers of information that can greatly increase your odds of success while decreasing the time that you may have to do in field. Like, actually, I mean, nothing is more important than getting out there and seeing where you're at, but be able to study it, being able to look at things ahead of time, really be able to soak yourself into an area, make notes, make plans. I mean, there's so many different tools. I mean, I don't even know where you might want to begin. Let's give someone like a kind of a 102, obviously an overview of kind of what someone's going to get when they're getting the app, but let's talk about a lot of those features and maybe some of the things that, you know, you're building upon. I know there's some things that you and I have talked about in months past about things that are coming, some, you know, game trail integration and some things there, but let's talk about these tools in the toolbox and, you know, maybe some of the ones that are most valued and used that you see as you've been talking to customers over the years.
Yeah. I mean, by and large, a lot of people come to our app as a plat map, right? So, I mean, public and private land data, that's where we got our start. That was, you know, the foundation of why our company came to exist in the hunt space, which is where we first exist by a long shot. And so that, you know, we kind of ride those coattails still to this day of being a public and private land ownership data resource that's available to people, which is wildly valuable to so many folks, whether hunting or the amount of people I run into on a daily basis in real estate, or that are contractors for X, Y, or Z that use our product, you know, for work purposes, is always astounding. So at a very basic level, that's what we show: public, private land ownership boundaries and data. So, you know, if you clicked on this property that I own here, you know, it would tell you Jared Larson is the owner. My tax address is, you know, 1617 Lakeside Drive, and I have 1.96 acres. And so, you know, for any, if you're an elite member and you have all 50 states, or if you're a premium member and have, you know, the single state or premium two state option, you have that data available to those states or all 50 states. And then, of course, just color coded by, you know, no shading means private with orange boundaries, and then different shading, yellow for Bureau of Land Management, a lighter green for National Forest, a blue green for, you know, a wildlife management area, so on and so forth. So just a really easy way to immediately instill confidence that you know who owns what land and whether or not you're supposed to be there becomes, you know, very clear. If you got your own, you know, tinfoil hat that rings the alarm when ethics are being crossed, or boundaries, I guess, are being crossed. So at its very core, that's what it does, but it goes so far beyond that. As you mentioned, a few of my favorite features is, you know, the ability to really organize a place that you hunt a lot. So that's a property in Wisconsin for me. You know, every week I carve out time to go back there and spend time with friends and family. And I have hundreds of markups on that 300 acres there. And so being able to organize that with different colored waypoints determined by the year. So like in 2023, my color for everything was brown. 2022 was yellow. 2021 was purple. 2020 was green. So, you know, year over year, you're able to build this intel, put it in folders, organize that. And then from those folders, I can share that with my buddy Nate, with my brother, with my dad, whoever it may be. I have entrance and exit routes into each tree stand. I have the optimal wind bubble attached to every single tree stand. So when you wake up in the morning, you glance at it, you see which ones are green, you see which ones are red, and you're immediately like, okay, well, these are my options for the morning. You know, the ability to save maps for offline use becomes crucial, just depending on where you're at in the country, being able to use it without any service required. It's a must have at this point. I really love the tracking feature. For whatever reason, I use that probably more than any other feature. If I am in the woods, I'm turning my tracker on.
Yeah.
It allows me to have a very visual picture of exactly where I was and what I was doing just by looking at that track. You know, going around a piece of public or a new piece of private or whatever it may be, it allows me to visualize, you know, what I was looking at that time. And it becomes a more meaningful piece of property to me, knowing where I was and maybe more importantly, where I wasn't, in order to figure out where I should have been or should be next time. And so those are just a few of the things that I use it for. I mean, we could talk ad nauseum, you know, to the different layers and features, but you know, what are a few of your favorite use cases that you put it to, through the paces with this fall?
I'll tell you, we were tracking a deer this year and using that tracking feature and be able to go back and like put down some notes upon different things. Hey, you know, look like it bedded down here, and just that we could kind of look back when there's three of us. And then I'm sharing this with everyone so we can see exactly where we are, what we've gone through. Hey, let's check out this route. Okay. We don't see anything here. Just that kind of that usefulness of kind of being able to see, cause we're in some thick mesquite. I mean, there was areas where it was just like, it would take a minute to just move 10 yards cause it's so thick and you're going through stuff and you're trying to still obviously not step on any blood or any tracks and things too. So we're kind of trying to, you know, do this silently and smoothly, but being able to kind of look back on that, I found that to be super useful. And I've used that for waypoints when I'm getting in and out of places. In Texas, you know, it's a little bit different than in the western part, and, you know, maybe other open areas as well. But, you know, a lot of times we're hunting from deer stands, or there, maybe there's, you know, a big game trail that we're going to sit over. I'm getting into bow hunting, so that will kind of change the dynamics of how I look at the mapping and things too this year. So I'm very excited to kind of, you know, maybe step it up in some of my features in use. But you will have, you know, feeders, different water, you know, we have different, you know, 55 gallon, you know, containers and stuff of water that are out there. And, you know, maybe where we have hog traps, turkey roosts, game trail cameras. So we'll have all this marked out there too. So it's great if someone's like out on the property and they're hunting and I'm not there that weekend and I want to be like, hey, go check out this one. Okay, this needs some corning, or hey, the protein's low here. Make sure you go fill up the water. This SD card needs to be replaced. Whatever it is, they have something right then, and I can just be able to send them the folder and boom, they got all these tools at their disposal. So I use it a lot for kind of teaching. You know, I do some mentoring, some guiding and stuff too. So I kind of use it as an introductory tool, but then I've found myself and a couple of my friends getting into a little bit more, of information in there. And that's something that we're excited about, you know, with the game trail, integration that's coming and stuff too. Cause I know we've talked about that when, in my company, Map My Ranch, you know, for those who don't know, Sharing the Land, it's a project run by Doug Duren, a mutual friend of ours, and kind of, you know, through some, you know, different phone calls, you and I got in touch. And for people who were working with Map My Ranch and wanted to get a printed aerial map of their property, when they're customizing their maps and showing us where everything is, we're sending them your app, an elite membership for them. So anybody who comes with us, they get a free 3-month membership there with the elite status, be able to really kind of mark out exactly what it is they want. So in a lot of times on a business side of things, I'm teaching them how to use that and utilize that for their, you know, sharing their information, their properties to see what they want to have customized when they print it out. And that's been really fun too, because I learned different ways that people use it just by talking to them. You know, just like when you're chatting about your use, there's so many different ways people utilize it and love it. And I just think it's such an enriching app. I mean, it's something I wish I had known about early when I first started doing stuff, because I'm a mapping dork. So anything I can do to get my hands on something like that, and especially the power of having it in your hands online and offline, is just tremendous. So yeah, that's my usage for the most part.
Yeah, well, and like you, I just love maps, you know, getting my hands on some of your physical Map My Ranch maps. I mean, you sent me one of that property in Wisconsin, which is at that property today. And, you know, it's funny, we're all sitting there like with our phones looking at Onyx, but yet we're in front of this 3-foot by 3-foot physical map. So we're like pointing at tree stands on Onyx, and then somebody is like translating that with their finger on the actual map. And I don't know, that's one of my favorite parts of deer camp, is like sitting at the map, whether that's like at 4:30 in the morning before the hunt, or, you know, at 9 PM the night after you guys got back, and just like sitting there strategizing, game planning. Because, you know, if you're a hunter, you pretty much need to have a very false sense of confidence that like tomorrow morning's the morning, tonight's yes. the night. I know this is like the 19th day that I've hunted this bastard, and none of my previous dozens, hundreds of hours have been fruitful, but tomorrow morning is going to be fruitful. It's and there's happen. Something about a map and a map meeting that really just like incites that confidence for me that the next hunt's the hunt.
Oh, it without fail, every single time we get back, we're looking up on that. And that's what's so great is it, you know, we'll have, as you've seen too, we have some that are fold up, you can carry with them and stuff too. So you can have them in your back pocket, your backpack. But then it's also really great to be able to utilize, you know, the digital maps and be able to send people things. Or if we're looking at, you know, hey, if you look over here, this is where this deer has been coming through a lot. You know, you can point it out on the wall, but you're not always taking that map with you. So being able to kind of have the best of both worlds, in my opinion, is something that's huge. And so I value both the digital and, you know, just having something printed up on the wall or around a camp. I liken it to a campfire. It's a place people gather, talk, have fun, and explore the different, you know, experiences of the day or strategies of the night of whatever you're going to do. Hey, we're going to go. So I just love it, man. I know it's something that everyone I've talked to that I've sent out, the elite membership through our clients have just come back and they're utilizing it, you know, on a day to day now. They love it. And so hopefully that'll kind of continue to get you guys more business and some, you know, renewals and subscription after that 3 months is done, man. Cause they love it. They
yeah.
Really
we
do.
Certainly appreciate that partnership. And I'll tell you, no deer camp is complete without a map on the wall. And we damn sure know that, you know, even being the digital mapping product. So, it's cool that we're able to find some synergies there. And, you know, you're speaking of that elite membership and, you know, you spoke to, you know, some of the newer features we're working on with, trail camera integration, as well as, you know, I'd be remiss not to mention some of the aerial imagery. So, yeah. Those would be the big ones in the past, I don't know, 6 to 8 months is we updated a bunch of our aerial imagery and we're going to continue, a very progressive aerial image update process. So we acquired some recent imagery. So it's high frequency, lower resolution. So every 2 weeks, a new image is taken across the country, which obviously comes with some inherent complexities as far as cloud cover and things of that nature in such a short time span. So it is lower resolution than our base map, but pretty awesome feature for seeing where a snow line is or what water levels are, or if you're doing management work on your property, you know, create a sendero down in Texas there, you know, like all that stuff. Every 2 weeks, there's a new image and you can see all of those changes happening in real time. Hell, even just like foliage falling off in the fall or new growth starting in the spring. And that also has a historic look back that goes to March of last year, and it's going to just continue onward. So that was a pretty cool update that I was pumped about. Leaf off imagery, we have it in 13 states. It's coming in more states incrementally as we're able to source that data. In fact, as of last month, I think we actually might be at 14 or 15 states now. But just, you know, furthering those options to see through at a high resolution opportunity in states like Arkansas and Mississippi and, you know, Missouri, where so much of it is just rolling monotonous deciduous forest. Yep. And so being able to see through that canopy is obviously important for a multitude of reasons. Our 3D and 3D exaggeration, you know, like for me, talking about 3D from a whitetail perspective, it's like, yeah, in some places in bluff country or something, like it can be handy, but so many of the places that whitetails are hunted is pretty flat. You know, you might be working with a ditch or a swale or 20 feet of elevation change on a 300 acre property. And that's where that 3D elevation exaggeration really comes into play. I mean, you can totally distort that picture to really break down those nuanced terrain features and understand, you know, how deer are going to use those, because you damn sure better believe a whitetail buck knows where a 3 foot little ditch is that he can travel a little bit more undetected, you know, for those 30 minutes he might be moving in daylight. So being able to understand those nuances is wildly important. And then, you know, the trail camera thing is so exciting to me. You know, this past year we partnered with Bushnell Covert and Exodus as far as cellular trail cameras you could integrate straight to the Onyx Hunt app. And so really this year was somewhat of a proving grounds of like, okay, can we get these partners onboarded, bought into the message of like trail camera management is currently a nightmare. If you are running multiple different brands of cell cameras, you know, inherently you then have to have multiple apps just to see your images. There's not really any original manufacturer of a trail camera that's pouring the amount of time, energy, effort, and resources into an app as we are every single day. And so we saw a lot of opportunity and room for improvement inside of these apps to natively manage the images. And so that is our hope, is we can get enough trail camera manufacturers on board so that cellular images from X number of brands could all come into the Hunt app, and then us be able to build a management platform inside of there that is going to allow you to manage your trail cameras to the extent that you want to, which can be, you know, incredibly nutty, like a Mark Kenyon or a Mike Hunsucker from Heartland Bowhunter, or incredibly lazy and dumbed down, like probably the average person out there who may be getting hundreds of trail camera images a week and they just don't have the time to sift through and sort through. And the beauty about what we're going to be building is we empower you to organize them as you want, whether that's meticulously or the exact opposite of such, but we are going to deliver you insights on your deer either way. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's say, George, you have six cameras running on your property and they're all connected to Onyx. They're sending in images. What we are working to build is based off of the metadata attached to every trail camera image. That is, you know, all the different weather factors, temperature, barometric pressure, wind speed, wind direction, you know, time of day, moon phase, time of year. All of those different factors obviously go into, you know, why a whitetail was moving on that day in that location at that time. And so we're going to help put together those correlations of, okay, from those six trail cameras, you got 24 images of your target buck, Steve. And Steve, in those 24 images, well, they're spread across five cameras, but two of the cameras took 18 of those 25 images. One of them, your north end food plot. One of them, your west side pinch point. And of those two, you had zero daylight pictures on your west side pinch point, but your north side food plot, you had, you know, nine daylight photos of the 13. Seven of the nine were on northeast winds between 41 and 50 degrees. All of those except one were in the evening, you know? So like pulling out those correlations that would take somebody hours, maybe dozens of hours to manually sort through your images and pull those different data points. You know, the idea is if you're going to be bought into our product, connect your cell cameras, and, you know, be interested in the insights that we're able to provide simply pulling that data out, you know, we're trying to solve the problem that so many Americans face, and that's lack of time. You know, that's the response that we see so often is, you know, like what's one thing you struggle with your ability to hunt? Is it knowledge? Is it a place to hunt? Is it, you know, time? Is it resources? And so often it comes back to, you know, time. I have kids doing this. I have, you know, a job doing this. And so if you only have five, six, 7 days to hunt over the course of a season, you really don't want to be out there when, you know, when conditions are suboptimal. And sometimes you have no choice. And I would never tell somebody not to go hunting on a day that they can go hunting because conditions are suboptimal. But our mission is to empower those experiences to be as fulfilling and successful as possible. So like that's the long game with trail camera management and what we're doing. And, you know, we got a long road ahead of us and a lot of work to do, but I'm confident we'll get there.
Well, it's exciting stuff. And I know y'all will get there. Every single thing I've seen every year, there's more progressions and value with the app, with the community. I love that you guys have a lot of different special, you know, there's been some Ask Me Anythings. There's been specialized, you know, discussions you've had with different people, whether it's with you, you know, maybe some staff members or even some outside folks to be able to have, hey, you tune in and it's kind of a webinar for like an hour or so and just kind of learning different things, strategies on whitetail rut or whatever it may be. I mean, there's been so many, it's like almost every single week I see another one coming up and, you know, trying to scratch away to that day and that afternoon or whatever to make sure I can tune in. And I've seen, you know, quite a few of them now. And I think that's a really great thing. You're building the community together in so many different ways, a lot of advancements in technology and that integration, helping the probability of success and more fun in the woods and saving time too, like you're talking about. It's, those are all just, you know, paramount things, I think. And it's really comes through. I mean, you guys have been involved every single time I'm looking at sponsorships too of different things. You worked with Meat Eater, you know, a National Deer Association. There's so many different organizations and people that I've talked to that, you know, then they're wearing a hat or a shirt and it's like, oh yeah, I've done some work with them or, you know, they were a part of this event. I mean, you guys are philanthropic and really giving back too for conservation. There's so many things. If maybe you want to just take a minute or two to talk about some of those kind of organizations you guys work with and ways that you may be giving back, you know, to various states, organizations, foundations, whatever it may be, because I know you guys do a lot in that area as well.
Well, I very much appreciate you taking note of that and bringing light to that because, you know, it's not me personally giving those things.
It is I thought it was you. It's not you.
Well, it is the Onyx brand that I get to facilitate a lot of that through. And I feel privileged to do so because, you know, conservation and access and stewardship, like those are all very important, you know, buzzwords for sure. But something that we take very seriously and aim to be a leader in the space, both in thought and in action on those things. And so donations@onxmaps.com is an email address that I for six of the last 7 years I managed. And, you know, everything from the local princess ball that's giving back to some young girl that is, you know, fighting an illness and raising money for, to, you know, the local high school, to the high school across the country that is hosting a charity event to raise money for their youth soccer team. You know, there really is no donation ask that we don't contribute to that we've ever received. And, you know, we're a believer that if we can leave, you know, somebody in better shape or the community in better shape with given from our own, you know, our own product, our own pockets, we're going to be there to help support those communities that always end up supporting us. Because at the end of the day, if you're reaching out to OnX for a donation, it's not because you saw our commercial right after the Toyota commercial on the Super Bowl. It's because you probably use our product or your husband does or your sister does, you know. And so if you're reaching out to us for a donation, I feel compelled that we owe it to you to give back for likely being a very loyal customer of ours. So it's cool to be able to donate in that regard. And I feel as though it's our responsibility, especially when we do not have, you know, we don't have the same one-to-one overhead cost that so many people see. You know, to produce a pair of binoculars has a very inherent cost. To produce an additional app subscription, yes, there is cost for upkeep of servers and incremental use. And obviously, like the people that are behind creating this piece of software, But the piece of software itself doesn't have costs. So like that really enables us to give far and wide. And as you said, like we take pride in the partnerships that we create endemically inside of the hunt community, you know, with the folks like Meat Eater and Doug Dern at Sharing the Land, you know, the guys at the hunting public, you know, the folks that really authentically care about the space, give back to the space, not only monetarily, but in their time as well. It's very easy to recognize those folks. And those are folks that we want to be partnered with. You know, and like Onyx does a really good job internally. You know, everybody in the company gets 8 hours of paid volunteer time off. And so like, that's something that has created this culture of like, oh shit, there's a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation fence pull that's going on, you know, next Thursday. Like, let's get in on it. Heck, I have literally even organized with a local company that was doing some stream bed restoration in Missoula. And they were, you know, I just got an email in my inbox like, hey, we're looking for volunteers. We're struggling to come up with enough numbers. I emailed them back and I was like, hey, can we set up a time for like Wednesday or Thursday midweek? I have probably 20 people from the Onyx office I can recruit. And so like single-handedly with those like volunteer hours, we were able to have like a volunteer day restoring this stream bed. And so like, yeah, Onyx has, we have the right mentality in place to give as we can, as well as support the communities and ecosystems that ultimately support our business. Because without elk on the mountain and public land on the landscape and private landowners doing their part to manage turkey populations so that the guy hunting the national forest across the fence, you know, has more birds to hunt, like everybody plays their part in a successful community. And we're just happy to be able to help facilitate that.
That's wonderful, man. You guys do a great job. And, you know, speaking on that too, maybe we can do something. We'll work out kind of a giveaway to some of the listeners to maybe give out a couple memberships and, you know, let people try this out and really kind of get an idea about how powerful this is and, you know, to come be able to learn more about the company and seeing all the things that you guys are doing to give back and to be a part of so much. I think it's super important and, you know, hats off to you and all the folks that are working there. Cause it doesn't go unnoticed, man. I mean, I've seen a lot that y'all have done and I really appreciate that there are companies that are giving back. You know, there's some folks that, you know, maybe they're not able to as much, whatever reason, maybe it's just tight, you know, margins and things too. Like you said, there's a lot of different things that cost a lot to put together, but there's a lot of companies that want to give back and keep this way of life, and to keep our, you know, wilderness wild, with the best habitats we possibly can for future generations to enjoy. So that's something that I can get behind. I know you as well. And so, you know, we'll kind of continue to, you know, make sure we're, every time you guys have an advancement in technology or something else, you guys are, you know, turnkey solution, I'll be definitely putting it out there on my socials and letting everyone know, because you guys got a lot of really cool stuff coming up. Is there anything that is happening in 2024 that, you know, kind of on the horizon that you guys can talk about aside from the game trail integration stuff? Is there anything else that maybe you can kind of tease out, or are there some things you kind of got to wait for deadlines to make announcements?
Oh, I'm really bad at waiting for deadlines. I tend to have the loose lips on the team, if you will, but you know, it really stems from being excited about that stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
From a whitetail perspective, you know, the trail camera thing is kind of our lane that we're trying to stay focused in. But some really cool stuff developing, you know, primarily for Western hunters. I'm not sure if you've checked out our recent addition to Compass Mode. So, you know, if you tap on the little crosshair icon, turns into, you know, a GPS triangle, gives you your blue sight cone. And then it also populates a little compass icon that if you tap on that, it then gives you this hashed line that dynamically changes and shows you the distance between you and pretty much any other given point on the map if you just simply like spin your phone and point the direction you're interested in facing. And so that's kind of the foundation for this rangefinder tool that we're building, which if you open it up, you'll see there's a rangefinder in there currently, which you can tap on that rangefinder. Mm-hmm. And then that populates a waypoint that then you can use those hashed line distances to manipulate where you want to put that waypoint, as in like, let's say you're sitting on a glassing knob, you spot a mule deer, he's, you know, across the drainage. You can then pull up that tool, get your compass mode, you know, point your phone in the direction of that mule deer, add that, you know, rangefinder icon, drop a waypoint on where that deer is. So that's all manually doable right now. But the cool part is that's soon to be Bluetooth integrated with multiple rangefinder partners, where you'll be able to simply click the button on your rangefinder and on a deer, and the waypoint will automatically Bluetooth drop on the exact location that rangefinder pinged on your hunt app. So it, you know, it's something that can totally be done manually today with 7 clicks and a fair amount of like zooming and scrolling. Whereas, you know, in the future, this fall, you know, you'll be able to click the button on your rangefinder if you have a, you know, compatible rangefinder that has Bluetooth, and that waypoint will drop, you know, on the exact spot that your laser rangefinder pinged off of. And so finding things like that, you know, where it's like, is this even a customer? It's, we're solving something before the customer even realizes they maybe necessarily have a problem.
Right.
So it's being able to be part of innovations like that. That's like super fun. And, you know, seeing the engineering team put the pieces together and make that build come to life makes my job as a marketer, you know, pretty fun and easy as far as like, all right, this is badass. That's easy to talk about.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, just the feature you're talking about just for the rangefinder, like that compass view there too. I use that when we were doing some trailing of a deer, and just, I'd seen a video. And I know that you had a video not too long ago that you had where you were talking about going in. I think it was like saying a spot where you were going to park and that you got permission to hunt some ducks and, you know, just being able to, I figure out how far, okay, I got 408 yards to walk in. Just the things that you can kind of know. And as far as then thinking about how much you're carrying, what you're going to have on your back, or, hey, it's only 200 yards. Okay. It's real quick. I can carry all more stuff. If it's 2 miles in, it's a different story, but I was using that and just kind of directionally looking through, and it was just the neat for me. I kind of, you know, kind of got lost on my task in the woods there, checking that out. And I was like, well, this is so neat. Cause man, I mean, I'm telling you, even back in elementary school, if I had 1 second to do something in class, even maybe when I was supposed to be focusing on something else, I'm drawing maps of my ranch and figuring out how far. And, you know, to my head, it was like, oh, I could walk here to here in maybe 5 minutes, you know, not really calculating as far as like the range. But now I'm like, okay, that is 800 yards. And as I do long distance shooting, that's really something too that I've taken into account as well. I mean, there's so many different ways you could utilize that. And, again, I just think it's so much fun that you guys are continuing to add to all these tools and the tool belt. So I'm really excited to see, you know, that as well, man. As long as it works with Leica HDB, you know, binoculars, I'll be fine.
So. Let me put in some word there. I'll see what we can do. But no, I mean, yeah, I appreciate guys like you and gals like you that have a love for maps, because as mentioned, there are so many people that simply use it as a plat map when they could, you know, sit down in front of the TV for 20 minutes and play around on Onyx Hunt instead of Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is you're doom scrolling on. You just press all the buttons. You can't break anything. And I promise that you'll learn something or find a new feature that you're going to find use in, whether that's for hunting your next elk, the whitetail on your property, hog hunting, bird watching. There are tools in there for literally anybody. I am convinced of that after hearing the hundreds of use cases.
Sure.
That go way beyond just hunting. So yeah, it's always fun to be there for the, holy shit, this does that. Because I get to experience quite a few of those.
No, I can only imagine all the different things. I mean, obviously on my end of stuff, I'm talking to people who have, you know, we're hunting ranches, commercial stuff, you know, farms, we've got vineyards, we've got lakes, rivers, you know, people have lakes. I remember one guy, he sent us a bunch of waypoints about, hey, here's where I get gas. And he was putting them all on to, you know, on X and sending it to us. Like, all these spots he wanted to have, hey, here's where I get bait. And it's like so cool to see, you know, when it finally gets printed out and, you know, then someone sends us a picture, hey, we use this. And it was really neat, you know, but they're also utilizing that when they're going through and trolling an area and they're, you know, sending me snapshots of their, you know, of the app and what they're doing there too. And it's just that a cool thing to see people really jumping in and utilizing it, man. I could go on for days. I'm sure you could, talking about all the fun you could have out there, but it's really great that you guys have put so much thought and effort and work and to really, utilizing this to the nth degree. So thank you for that. Before we sign off, I do have two questions. One is, I want to know what some of your memorable hunts are. That hunting season is kind of ending. We got, you know, spring turkey coming up, but I'm sure that you've kind of, for the most part, I don't know if you got any tags left to fill or if there's space to fill it in the freezers, but I kind of wanted to know what you've experienced out in the outdoors that kind of, you know, was meaningful to you this year.
Yeah. So my season's just officially wrapped up. I guess today is a Wednesday. They wrapped up on Monday. Pretty much everything here in Montana is shut down. But I got absolutely whooped in the whitetail woods this year. You know, being the whitetail and turkey guy, at Onyx, I always feel a little bit of pressure to do something, worth writing home about in the whitetail woods. And boy, did I not this year. I think there was a stretch there where I was able to hunt 26 of 27 days, between like October 23rd and roughly Thanksgiving. And, I missed a really good buck in Iowa. And then just hunting a particular deer. I love doing it. I love chasing a particular deer. You know, maybe it's two mature deer that are on a piece that I have the ability to hunt or I have on camera. But boy, does it get under my skin. But I love it and I hate it. I try to never use the word, oh, it was a grind, because if I'm out there and it's a grind in my tree, I'll just climb down and I'll go do something that's not a grind. Like I'm supposed to be in that tree, like enjoying myself. But sometimes when I'm hunting a particular mature deer, I find myself getting more frustrated than I ought to. And that was me most of November this year. But I was able to go, went on an Alaskan moose hunt. It was really a hunt for my uncle. You know, not something that I had at all anticipated. It was like last May, my uncle sold his dairy operation. He had like some 2,000, 2,500 dairy cows. And an opportunity just kind of presented itself for him to sell the farm, literally. And he did. And the first thing that he told me after telling me that was, hey, can I like crash at your place and hunt around Montana all September, like chasing elk? And I was like, well, absolutely, you are welcome to, but it's no longer 2005, Uncle Tom. You can't just like buy an over-the-counter elk tag and go do it anymore. So unfortunately, like Montana elk was off the table. We'd missed the time. And so I was like, you know, if there's something else out there. And he's like, all right, what about an Alaskan moose hunt? And I was like, well, what kind of resources do you have? Because I can't exactly put together a DIY moose hunt in like 3 months. And so he's like, yep, good point. I don't really care. Like I'll cover the cost and we'll go. And I said, well, okay. And so, you know, I was really, you know, guide in this position. And we still, you know, we did it ourselves, but we hired an outfitter to just simplify the process as far as, you know, we didn't have to fly a raft up. We didn't have to, you know, have all of the camping gear with a tent, a camp stove and all this other equipment. And then obviously, you know, we chose to do an area that was fly in, fly out. So that was the cost, was like, here's the gear you need and we are your transportation. Outside of that, you know, my uncle and I just got dumped off at the headwaters of a river and we had a 66 mile float ahead of us and 10 days to do it. And I mean, the high level takeaways for me was, if you're close with somebody, go do some type of cool adventure, whether that's turkey hunting one state over and you guys go sleep in a tent and spend 3 days on public land, or if you have the means and the ability to plan a grand adventure chasing elk, mule deer, moose, whatever it is that gets you ticking. You know, I wouldn't trade that time with my uncle for the world. I actually like worked on his farm for a summer growing up. And, you know, we had a pretty close nephew uncle relationship that really got a whole heck of a lot closer. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, I actually was the one to end up killing a moose on like the last day that we really could have feasibly killed a moose and still got out to our pickup point in time. And like, it just so happened to be an absolute giant moose, you know, and we shot it entirely too far off the river. You know, spent 34 of 38 hours packing that moose out. I'll enlighten you with a picture that you can maybe like,
yeah,
spread to your broader audience of, I'll send you one from like day one and then one from like day after pack out. And it's a pretty stark difference on what we look like. But that was a brutally awesome hunt, that I'll always cherish. And then, you know, was able to harvest an elk with my bow with my cousin along. So like, that was a super fun experience. So I can't complain. It was a good season for me. My freezer's full, and, the whitetails, you know, they have me thinking about them already for next October.
Hey, you let them grow for one more year. It was kind of you. You know, sometimes you got to do that, right?
That or let them grow for the neighbor. It's hard saying not knowing yet at this point.
Yeah, yeah. You haven't gotten the text to be like, hey, was this the one you were looking at? Yeah, yeah. Those are tough ones. Those were tough.
Yep. So how about you? What do you, you know, if you've already talked about some of your hunt success or lack thereof this season, you know, give me what's next for you. What are you most looking forward to?
Man, I'll tell you, this the hunting season, really, I kind of just let the cat out of the bag. I was doing an interview with Brad Leone the other day, and I kind of hinted at, I got my second melanistic deer. So I've sent you the article before, Black Beauty, the first one, the buck. I got a second one, so I'm working on the article right now. But that was the beginning of my season, and it was just the craziest experience. I've got a podcast, and it'll be a chapter in the audiobook as well. But it's basically, I was there mentoring a friend of ours named Johnny Boots. Well, we call him Johnny Boots because he was getting some snake boots, and then he changed to Johnny Bolts. He has many names, but he had done basically what you know, we've talked about a little bit with sharing the land with Doug's initiative there, where he would come and work on the property. And in exchange, you know, I mean, we're just friends, so it wasn't like a barter system, like you have to do this first, but he came and put in a bunch of, you know, sweat equity and did months and months of work on the property and got a really good feel for it. And then he was going to take a doe. And so we were in the stand. He shot his very first doe. I had it on my really nice camera, so I filmed that hunt for him. And then we're looking back on the footage immediately, and it looked like the hit was back. And this guy was banging bullseyes, 100, 200, 300 yards. So it was like, I didn't know if maybe a little bit of, you know, kind of that buck fever kind of thing, you know, jumped in as far as, even though it was a doe, but like the idea, maybe the excitement of taking a shot on a live animal. Well, the shot looked off. So we said, instead of 30 minutes, let's give it 45 to an hour. And in that extra amount of time, the melanistic one showed up. And so I ended up getting the shot and got it filmed as well. And it was just nuts, man. I mean, like, it couldn't, later on we go to his deer and it's like a perfect heart shot. It just, the video tricked our minds into thinking the way it jumped and the way it looked like it might have gotten hit. Should have known. He was bullseye, man, all the way through. But that ended up being that extra time at the melanistic. So it was such a fun experience to, like, not only just watch someone kind of, you know, from the very beginning of, this guy hadn't shot a rifle before. We're teaching him about marksmanship, about the ethics of being in the woods, and being able to see all those stages. So kind of being able to see that all the way through the end, getting a film. And then on top of that night, if it couldn't get any bigger, it did. And then it just, it kind of snowballed from there, man. A lot of successes on our property. The main hit buck went to a kid who got his very first deer, nephew-in-law and cousin-in-law rather. And that was a really great experience to see that. The family was all there with them. So anytime you kind of have that experience, you know, it's not a lot of time that you and I, who have been doing this for so long, see firsts, you know, for ourselves, but we see it in other people. And as we're mentoring and being a part of that process, it's been really exciting to me to kind of be in that next chapter of hunting. And then I got two huge bucks in South Texas. One I was looking at through my binoculars, and it was just chasing doe around. And I get a text from my uncle. He says, hey, by the way, if you see this buck, I want this one taken out. And I'm like, oh, he's right here. And I wasn't necessarily going to get him, but I thought he was younger. I thought he's like maybe 4.5. And it looked like he was 5.5 or 6.5 after we got the aging from the taxidermist. And he was running around a lot. It was kind of like pre-rut, but he was, I mean, I had seen him running for 30 minutes. So he later on, we matched up to a picture from early season. It's like, oh, it was that one. Super wide, 21.5-inch wide rack of a 7-pointer. Not just kind of dinky rack, but it was just a cool deer, my widest.
Yeah.
And then got a monster 8-point. The 7.5-year-old buck was just massive, just kind of showed up the next day. And a lot of the meat that we got kind of went to different friends and family. It's like all around just fun successes, fun sharing of those stories. I really couldn't have asked for a better year. Now I'm like gearing up on turkey season. That is one of the most exciting things that I just love. I'm really new to turkey hunting, even though I've killed about 15 turkeys in my life. It would always be like walking around the property and seeing some and just being advantageously grabbing the shotgun. And then the last 2 years calling them in, I'm like, oh, okay. This is a whole nother level of fun.
I get this now. Yeah. I understand why people do this.
I'm addicted. So, we're going to work next month on the property and getting everything ready and getting some lambs.
So you got Rios down there on your ranch in Texas.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we got, I mean, that's primarily in both of those, both the places I hunt down in South Texas, there used to be a lot more turkey. Now it's a lot of drought years, seeing tons of coyotes. I mean, there's a lot of bobcat things. So there, I think there's, you know, multiple issues that are maybe kind of showing a little bit more of a decline, but in Central Texas, I mean, we have so many out there and there's some folks that, you know, kind of are in the hunting community and some people that I've invited to come down. So hopefully we'll be doing some filming here in April and have some stuff to share with some people later on. But I just can't wait, man, to get back out in the woods again and kind of I've closed the deer hunting chapter. Now my brain's all on turkey.
So. Well, kudos to you for really getting new people take precedence, you know, over getting caught up in you tagging the target buck and things of that nature, because, you know, I'll admit I am not to that chapter in my life where I have, you know, like I don't have a ranch to take people to. I don't have my own land to, you know, dedicate time and energy and have people help me in order to repay them with access. I aspire to get there, but at this point, you know, it's a lot of trial and error for myself. So kudos to you for really, you know, giving back to the people that need it and allowing them the opportunity. And then my second thought there is, you know, I'm sure you're some level of aware as far as what Turkeys for Tomorrow is doing and the decline of turkey populations across, you know, much of the mid-South, lower Midwest, the deep South for sure, you know, Texas, Oklahoma is a really, really hot button one who, I mean, shoot, you used to be able to shoot like three birds. Everybody and their brother was able to shoot three birds in Oklahoma just a handful of years ago. And now it's like one bird only. I think they have some non-resident quotas in place now. And so, you know, you just mentioned your spot in South Texas used to have a lot of birds. Now it doesn't. So, yeah, you know, the turkey landscape is very interesting. And it's interesting to read some of the science out there of how important it is to not take three gobblers off of 600 acres, but just taking one. And, you know, maybe don't do it on opening day. You know, give it a little bit of time. Let that dominant bird breed. I don't know. There's just so much to be read out there. And you know, what are the real take homes? I don't even know. I think there's a lot of people that don't know, but it's cool that, you know, you're in a spot that has a bunch of birds and hopefully we'll have a bunch of birds for a long time to come, but really awesome that, you know, that 1,000 acres is kind of your own destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And the one that's in Central Texas, you know, the few hundred acres, we're always doing enhancements to the property. And that's another way that also, I found that I've used your app. Was we're talking about areas that we're going to go ahead and take out a bunch of the invasive trees and brush and plant native foods and grasses and looking at areas and kind of being able to walk around a field that I've cleared and figure out how many acres it is, how much seed I'm going to use. So like there is another level of integration of that software into the development of land and building better habitat. And so I kind of want to make sure I mention that too, because that's something that, as you know, you like you saying too, you kind of historically see maybe, you know, the snapshots of all the amazing imagery that you guys are offering that people can kind of see every, you know, those 2 weeks or whatever it is that was it 2 weeks you said every 2 weeks or 2 months?
Yep.
Okay. So, so you're able to see that kind of growth in the property, especially if you're doing improvements. And I find that to be really useful because I can kind of see the work that I'm doing in the scale of like
really satisfying overall. Too, because it's a lot of
satisfying.
Work.
I love it. And years, I mean, cause I've, I've kept maps on the walls here. You know, I've kind of got some behind me over there. And historically, being able to see, okay, here's this. Then we cleared 26 acres. We planted this. Now we've had better habitat. This is now where turkeys are resting more in the day. Maybe this is where they're having, you know, they're young and kind of keeping it safe from other areas because it's super high grasses and things that we're trying to do to implement that. And, you know, just kind of getting your finger on the pulse of that information. I know you guys do a great job of sharing information like you were just talking about too with turkeys and finding out what we can do to maybe help keep this better and make this habitat more sustainable for the future use. So that's something I'm always in my head, man, kind of at that, I think I've hit that kind of area where I've, you know, I'm 44, maybe at that middle point right now. I'm looking at the back end of this stuff, the back 40, thinking about what can I do to make sure that my kids, grandkids, and seven generations down the line are going to be able to enjoy the same lifestyle and love and knowing where their food came from and having a true connectivity with that, foraging, fishing, whatever it may be in the outdoors. And so I know I'll be using the app is throughout that time too. And that'll be, you know, something I'll be able to kind of gauge our effectiveness over the years. So once again, thank you for joining me today. I just have one last question for you. And that is really about your own personal legacy. And I've been asking this to everybody. I know we're still young men, right? But there may be some things that you're thinking about in your day-to-day and, you know, month-to-month, year-to-year about your work, maybe personally and professionally. What is it that you're hoping that you're doing today will be remembered in the years to come and, you know, maybe even after you're gone? What kind of mark do you want to leave in as far as a legacy, if that's something you've, you know, kind of pondered yourself as well?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think it's quite blurry still, but from a professional standpoint, you know, in regards to Onyx, I think we've just been granted a very fortunate position to be very much a thought and action leader. And, you know, I'll use Doug's message and yours of it's not ours. It's just our turn, in which like that message is a little bit harder for us to incite because that's very private land looking. But that's something that I aspire to. And that message holds true. And I try to like translate that into our access program, which is something where, you know, public land access is more synonymous with the Onyx brand at this point. And ensuring that, you know, the dollars that we see come in from our customers, hunters, are going back in some form, fashion, at some value amount to those people to ensure that there is access, there is habitat, and there are critters on the landscape for your kids, my kids, grandkids down the road. I just think that's paramount in importance because, you know, I really don't know what I would do if I didn't have the opportunity to set out into the woods.
Yes. No, I fully agree, man. Well, kudos to all the things that you're doing, your organization. I really, you know, fully support it. And I, you know, appreciate our friendship as it's grown and we're continuing to stay in touch. Thank you for, you know, helping support Map My Ranch, for all the work you've done with sharing the land with Doug there too. Just, it's fun to be a part of this kind of collective community of doing things, giving back, and being a part of something bigger than ourselves. For those who are ready today, if they have not gone to get the Onyx app and, you know, the off-road and backcountry, why don't you tell everybody what website and some socials they can follow for the business and then also for yourself too, if you want people to check out what you got going on.
Well, if you need a paper map, just go to mapmyranch.com, buy yourself a paper map, and that's going to get you 3 free months of an Onyx Elite membership. If you've already got a Map My Ranch map on your deer camp, then you can just go to onyxmaps.com and then you can choose the hunt product there. You'll see it right on the front page, and that will give you all of the different details as far as the features, the benefits for our elite membership, for our premium membership. So onyxmaps.com or just at onyxhunt, any of the main social platforms you can find us. And then me personally, Jared C. Larson. I'm pretty much only active on Instagram, but George, I appreciate you having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. And someday I hope to share a deer camp or a tree waiting on a turkey.
I look forward to that, man. We're going to make that happen. Hey, have yourself a great rest of the week and weekend. We'll be in touch soon. Take care.
You too, George.